is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center. About Jesus. Yes. You are worthy. You are worthy of all praise. You are worthy. You are worthy. And to you
you are on, he's somebody to praise.
Yes.
He's somebody to sing about.
Yes.
He's somebody to shout about.
Hey.
He's somebody that cares so much about you. The least we can do is give him our praise. Give him our worship. I shouldn't have to beg nobody to praise the King of Kings. To praise the Lord of Lords. You ought to want to do it all by yourself. Just because of who he is. We're so thankful for what he's done. But come on. Do I have this right? But because of who he is, somebody ought to give him a shout today. Somebody ought to lift his name on high. Somebody ought to say, not because of me, but because of you, Jesus. Somebody went to bed last night when I went to sleep, and they didn't get up this morning. Thanked him when I opened up my eyes because I knew he wasn't finished with me yet. I knew he had more for me to do, and I plan to make this day count for him. For him. For him. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your holy presence.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We thank you for your holy presence, oh God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father, we ask now, in the name of Jesus, that you would stir our hearts right now, till up the soil in our hearts, oh God. That we might receive your word, Father God, that it might bring change in our lives, oh God. Today, Lord God, we desire to be transformed even into the image of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus. Our Messiah. So Father, touch this body, touch these lips, touch this tongue, every breath that comes through this body, Father God. Let it be seasoned in love and grace as your truth goes forth. We ask this all in the mighty, matchless, holy name of Jesus. Come on, somebody in the house of Judah, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. While you're at it, come on, put your hands together and welcome in our online congregation. We thank God. We thank God we're touching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I can't speak for you, but I could just say that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so this morning we are continuing with our study of the Holy Spirit. This morning is part five. It's part five. Chances are we'll conclude next week. I think we're going to pull one more message out of this. Today, most of our time is going to be spent in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Excuse me. Today, we're going to specifically address the speaking gifts of the Spirit, meaning the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation, and the gift of prophecy. Probably 95% of the teaching of these spiritual gifts of tongues is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in chapter 14. However, there is record of the saints speaking in tongues in other parts of the Bible. So I just want to give you a couple of the passages very quickly. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, this is a little background here, they were in the upper room. They were there for the Feast of Pentecost, and it says all of them, somebody say all of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to what? Speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. If you jump back in your Bible a little further, in Acts chapter 19, verse 6, this is Paul. He's in Ephesus. He's moving along with his posse, and they run into some guys, and they asked him about the Holy Spirit, and they replied to Paul. They said, well, listen, we haven't even heard of a Holy Spirit since we've believed. So that goes to tell us there are believers in the house of faith that have not even heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit because of denominational teaching or what have you. But when Paul comes up to them in Acts chapter 19, you could read the whole story to get it in context. It says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and here it is, and they what? Spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. Also, Paul, as well as Jude, encourages us in other passages to pray in tongues, or in other words, to pray in the Spirit, meaning the same thing. Let's just take a look at Jude chapter 1, verse 20. And as I said, I'm just drawing out a couple of verses here, but there are many throughout your Bible in the New Testament. Jude chapter 1, verse 20, it says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, how? By praying in the Holy Spirit. By praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, as established in last week's message, we believe here at Jude Ministries International Worship Center, and I firmly believe, that all the gifts are active in and for the 21st century church, including the speaking gifts, including the speaking in tongues, the interpretation of those tongues, and prophecy. And we're going to dissect that today here in a few minutes. But as I also said, and I've been saying this throughout every message, I also believe that a lot of the spiritual gifts have been hijacked by the church today. And remember, I've been teaching you every week, learn to discern the difference between the charismata, the charismatic, and the difference between that and charismania. Are you hearing me, somebody? So there's been a lot of proselytizing, a lot of hijacking of the spiritual gifts into the church today. So turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 14 if you haven't done so. And let's exposit these passages. We're going to do just about the whole chapter. Now, I want to speak to you about the three purposes or the three variations of the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues. When we read in the Bible, it says, and they spoke in other tongues. The word in the Greek is glossa, just simply means languages. So they were speaking in other languages. So while speaking in tongues or speaking in languages may sound strange to you here, for example, if you've never been in a full gospel service, if this seems somewhat foreign to you, where we are praying and we are worshiping in tongues, while it may sound strange to you, listen, trust me, it does not sound strange in the spiritual realm. Let me explain what I mean by that. When I travel around the world, when I go to India, or when I go to any of the African countries, or when I travel to Haiti, when I'm walking around, I hear all these tongues, all these languages. They sound very strange to me. But how many of you know? Mama Ravi, I don't speak Bemba very well. Other than maybe Bueno, Tuatotela. Now, I could catch those couple little words, Le Samipali. I could catch a couple little words. But for the most part, I'm lost. It sounds strange. Are you hearing me, somebody? But to the locals, they understand every word. So when you hear people speaking in tongues in the church, it might sound strange here on earth. But listen, our God who is in heaven clearly understands it. So let me speak to you about the three purposes or variations of the gift of tongues in your Bible. Once again, the word tongues is glossa, glossa, simply meaning another language. So the first purpose we see for the speaking in tongues is that the saints are speaking in understandable human languages. Let me say it again. Understandable human languages that were not native, their native tongue in Acts chapter 2. Once again, let me give you the backstory. What's going on here? This is the Feast of Pentecost. Jesus told them, he says, listen, not, you know, in 40 days, after 40 days, he says, you're going to go and you're going to wait in an upper room. And when you're in there, there's a gift that's going to be given you. The Matan Torah, this is the gift of the celebration of the giving of the word with Moses on Mount Sinai. That's what the gift of Pentecost is all about. So they're all gathered there. The Bible says about 120 of them, and they were in an upper room. So all of a sudden, they came out, if you're familiar with the story, and they're all speaking in tongues. They're all speaking in other languages. And then the people in the community actually started kind of poking fun at them. They says, listen, they're drunk. And then Peter steps up and says, listen, they're not drunk. He says, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, but I love this in the original King James. He said, but this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. There was an old-timey brother back at Wildwood Chapel, and he used to say, this is that. He used to love that saying. Well, they says, well, what if it isn't? He says, well, if it isn't, I want more of this until that comes. Hallelujah. So give me some more of this, but this is that, and that's what they're talking about. So the Bible says that they came out, and they began to worship God. Now, there were people, there were Jews from all over the known world. They were from three different continents. They were from Europe. They were from Asia. They even came in from Libya. They were in from Africa. There were Grecian Jews and Roman Jews and Libyans and Egyptians. But when they were speaking in tongues, they were all there, but they all heard this praise. They all heard his worship. They all heard this testimony in their own language. They clearly understood it. There were no prophetic utterances with an interpretation. Are you following me here? Now, this is the only scripture reference that I know of this event happening when everyone was speaking in an unlearned, intelligible language. Let's read the verses. It's found in Acts chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And it says in verse 6, when they heard the sound, a large crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. In other words, these brothers and sisters came out of this upper room full of the Holy Ghost. They were speaking fluent Italian. They were speaking fluent Greek. They were speaking fluent African languages. They understood them. Verse 7 says, utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Let me just pause there for a second. Because the people from Galilee were unlearned people. So it's like, these people have no education. How did they learn how to speak all these different languages? Aren't they all speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? So when they came out speaking, everybody understood what they were saying. Now, that's not to say nothing like this has never happened again. It's just not recorded in our Bible. Now, this particular gift of tongues would be like dropping you or me in another part of the world, and all of a sudden we just begin to fluently begin speaking the local language. They drop you off in China, and all of a sudden you're speaking Mandarin Chinese, or they drop you off in Spain, and you're speaking fluent Spanish, or France, and you're speaking fluent French. With no learning, nothing, you just speak their language, and they clearly understood. That is exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2. Now, how many of you know that our God knows how to orchestrate something? Listen, because at this day of Pentecost, Our father had made sure that there were tens of thousands of Jews from around the known world. They would be gathered for this outpouring of the Holy Ghost toward this one particular day of Pentecost, because it was required for all male Jews to pilgrimage there for this feast of Shavuot, or this feast of the giving of the word. It's called the Matan Torah, the giving of the gift. And when they got there, God made sure that all of them heard the message loud and clear in their own language. The word was given again through cloven tongues of fire. The word was given again to the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit. It was not just a graphe, but it was a logos. It was a living word that would be given inside them. It was no longer on a stone tablet. So listen, all the Jews there was no misunderstanding what the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ was. So I'm here to tell somebody, listen, our God didn't need Google Translate. He didn't need Facebook or Snapchat or ChatGPT. All he needed, listen, were a few believing saints that were willing to go into an upper room and tarry, and then he would do the rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the gospel went forth with the message of tongues. So number one, we see speaking in tongues used as a witness of the giving of the Holy Ghost. Secondly, it is used for self-edification, for building ourselves up through personal prayer or a personal worship language. Now we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, right at verse 1. The Bible says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to who? Are y'all with me? So when we're praying in tongues, when we're worshiping in tongues, I'm not talking to you. You're not talking to me. You got a hotline, brother. Straight to the throne room. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, nobody understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Verse 3. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Verse 4. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So let's walk through these passages and hopefully put some clarification on these passages. First of all, it says follow the way of love. It's the word agape. In the original, we did a deep dive on the word agape. Means a sacrificial love, right? We have 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's laying out all the gifts of the Spirit, but then he gives us Corinthians 13, which speaks about love that is not for a wedding, but it has having to do with the gifts of the Spirit. Our gifts must be bathed in love. And then he says, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So, whatever spiritual gift it is that you have, make sure that it's love motivated. Somebody say amen. Amen. So what is this gift of prophecy? What is it? Because it gets misunderstood a whole lot in the Christian church today. The original Greek word is prophetēo. While it can mean foretelling, meaning the telling of future events, it's also and most often used in the New Testament as forthtelling under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It simply means the proclaiming of God's truth. If you're with me, say amen. So one could say right now, I am operating under the prophetic gift, the prophetēo, and my words are not for my edification, but they are for the edification of the entire church. As opposed to when I'm worshiping in an unknown tongue, I am building up myself. We'll see you here in a minute. If you're with me, say amen. So, is there a gift of foretelling today? Absolutely, yes. However, be careful and weigh that word out. I gave you some personal examples of some prophecies that were spoken to my life, into our children's life, and into our family life. So there is the foretelling as well, but listen, weigh it out. Verse 2 says, for anyone who speaks, worships, or prays in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, nobody understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue, here it is, edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. The word edify in the Greek, I love to do word studies because I believe it reveals a lot of what's going on in the Word of God. The word is oikodome, which comes from basically two Greek words, which oikos is means house, domeo means to build. It means to, literally it means to build a house. So he who speaks in a tongue, he who sings in a tongue, he who's praying in a tongue, you're building your own house. That is the literal translation of the Word of God here. Now, oikodome also, watch this now, it means to repair something or to restore something. It means to fix something that is broken. Now, how many of you at one time or another had something broken in your house? Now, I hope you got what I just said. I'm not talking about gutters and roofs, y'all. I'm talking about this. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you have been broken in this house? Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, I'm talking about a broken life here. Maybe you're broken and you're trying to oikodome. Maybe you're trying to fix your broken house or your broken life with an unhealthy relationship. Maybe you're trying to fix it with some kind of drug or some kind of alcohol. Maybe you're trying to fix that brokenness with some kind of promiscuous sex or watching TV 24/7. Listen. Father has given us the gift of tongues so that our brokenness, we can speak directly to him. And even though no man understand you. Listen, my brother and my sister. Your moans and your groans, God hears everyone. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he will oikodome, he will repair you, he will restore you, he will replenish your broken house. Oh, come on, somebody give our God a praise right there. See, we're talking about a metamorphosis. We're talking about a change from the inside out. A change comes from the glossa. It comes from the word that's within you. It comes from the heavenly language that Paul is talking about. Your change comes from you praying in languages. You're praying in tongues. You're worshiping in the spirit. Listen. Nobody's going to understand you. Why? Because you're speaking mysteries to God. Some people might think you're crazy, but that's okay. Your mind will be unfruitful. That's to be expected. That's what the body says. The Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. But hear me when I tell you, my friend, that the Spirit of God understands every word that you utter. The Spirit of God understands every moan and every groan. The Spirit of God understands every cry from your heart, and the transformation on the inside will soon be manifest on the outside. Come on, somebody. So, number one, we see it as a witness. Unknown languages. In Acts chapter 2, we see the gift of tongues as for self-edification, to build ourselves up. And thirdly, and I'm going to spend most of my time here, is for the congregational edification with the interpretation of these tongues. Remember, tongues, plus interpretation equals prophecy. Down in verse 5, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. He says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. I think I'm just going to go ahead and read that one more time. Are y'all hearing me? I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater. It doesn't mean he has a higher calling. It means he has a greater effect on the congregation. Are you with me? He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets. Why? So that the church may be edified. So the church is edified through the speaking of tongues and the interpretation comes a prophetic word. Verse 13. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Here it is. But my mind is unfruitful. So when you're praying in tongues, when you're worshiping in tongues, forget about it. You're not going to understand what you're saying or what you're praying for. Are you with me? Say amen, somebody. Verse 15. Paul asks a question. So what am I going to do? I will. Somebody say, I will. I will pray in my spirit. But I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit. But I will also sing with my mind. Now listen. We experience that weekly here in the house of Judah during our time of worship. This is biblically sound doctrine. Listen, this is not charismania, what you are witnessing here on a Sunday morning. Are you with me, somebody? This is the exercising of the charismata, the grace gift that has been given to us, the church. Hallelujah. Verse 16. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can anyone who finds himself among you, those who do not understand, say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? Verse 17, you may be given thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. Verse 18, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you.
My God.
Oh, I just got to say that again. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Can you say that to your neighbor? All right. But in the church, I would rather. This is, in other words, he's making a choice here. He has both of them. You following me? I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in tongues. Now, listen. In these passages, Paul is not saying don't worship in tongues. He's not saying don't speak in tongues in a church. He's not saying don't sing in tongues. No. He's saying do both. So, what shall I do? I shall do both. I will sing with my spirit. I will sing with my mind. One doesn't take place of the other, church. One doesn't eliminate the other. So here at Judah, we worship in the spirit. We worship in unknown tongues. But we also proclaim the word of God. We also prophesy. We proclaim the mysteries of God in an intelligible language as well. Did you all just understand what I just said? That was a double entendre. You got that, right? That means I'm speaking in intelligible words. So we are propheteo as well, speaking in understandable languages. Verse 20. Brothers, stop thinking like children in regard to evil. In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Verse 22, tongues then are a sign not for believers, but it's for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone is speaking in tongues and some of you do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're crazy? Huh. Will they not say that you're out of your mind? And listen, church, that's what it was like in the Corinthian church when they were blessed, when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and they began speaking in tongues and exercising these gifts. They were like a child that was excited about a new bicycle. They just couldn't get enough with it. In other words, when people come into the church, Sister Jane and is back there and she just speaks Bemba to everybody coming in and speaking in tongues. Everybody, and then you come over here during our meet and greet. Well, how you doing, Sister Kathy? How you doing, Pastor Mike? What are they thinking? You cray cray. I want no part of that. That's what Paul is addressing here. He's talking about decency and order in the church. Come on, if you're with me, can somebody say amen in the house? My. So, an unbeliever comes in and hears praying and worshiping in tongues. Watch this. This is real good here. It will be a sign to him of the coming judgment. Why? Because in verse 21, which we just read, Paul is referencing Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12, when the Assyrians, who God used them as a judgment rod against Israel, they came upon Israel and the Israelites did not understand their language. So when Paul is addressing them, this speaking in tongues, the Jews got the reference back to when they were beaten down that God had to use people of an unknown language was going to judge them. Oh, I hope you heard something right there. My. So the Jews completely understood this. So tongues are just that to the unbeliever. They are a sign of the coming judgment. Verse 24. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, speaking the word of God, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So tongues is a sign of a coming judgment. Prophecy, or the preached word of God, will convince the sinner that God is really among you. The Bible says it will lay bare the secrets of their heart. That's what the preached word of God does. It reveals ourself to ourself, and that we realize that we are in deep need of a Savior. But how many of you know when the word of God goes forth, it says it will accomplish what he sent it forth to do. His word will go into the earth. I don't care how you try to stop it. Let me tell you something, my friend. You cannot hide from the word of God. I don't care what country you try to go to. I don't care what language you want to speak in. It doesn't. You cannot hide from the word of God. It will go forth in the world. It will not return back to him empty. It will accomplish what it is set forth to do. Now his word, listen. It's going to do one of two things in your life. It's either going to save you or it's going to condemn you. Did y'all hear me? The word of God is either going to save you, you're either going to believe on it, or you're not going to believe on it. In John chapter 3, verse 17, 18, somewhere in there, it says, if you don't believe, you're already condemned. So the word of God is going forth, and it's laying. How many of you remember the first time you heard the word of God, and it laid your heart out? I thought I was a pretty good guy. I was a drug dealer, but I wasn't like those other drug dealers, you know what I'm saying. Because we tend to judge ourselves to one another. Listen, the bar has been set by Jesus. So when the word of God was preached and it hit this poor boy's heart, I said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I cried out to the Savior, and the word of God saved me. Come on, are you hearing me, somebody? So the word of God is going to accomplish what it is set forth to do. It's set forth to either save you or judge you. Yes. Condemn you. One of the two. It's going to be one of the two. What shall we say? Verse 26. When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a song or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Here it is. Don't miss this. All of these, somebody say all of these, must be done for the strengthening of the church. All of the gifts of the Spirit. Once again, do we not exercise these every week? Listen, this isn't something that we just happen to make up. This is biblical protocol. It is the body at work. The body of Christ is not a one-man show. Somebody help me and say amen. Amen. We are a body ministry. We went over that a few weeks ago. You have the hand, the feet, the eyes, the ears, the brain, the heart. We're all doing our separate parts in the body. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. So we build one another up as we build ourselves up with the speaking in tongues. Verse 27. Now it says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, this is speaking prophetically. This isn't your prayer language. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or three at the most should speak, one at a time, and then someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. So in other words, if you have a prophetic message in tongues when you're in a congregation like this, or if you're visiting another church and you feel a prophetic message coming through the gift of tongues, and if you're not sure that there's somebody there to interpret that message. All right. Yes. My mama used to tell me growing up, stop the zit. Shut your mouth. Don't say anything. Keep quiet. Verse 27 is speaking about the gift of the prophetic tongue. This isn't talking about worship. It's not talking about your prayer language, because your prayer language is for self-edification. You're building yourself up. Verse 28 infers knowledge of an interpreter in the house. If you're unable to interpret the word and there is no interpreter that you're aware of, then just use it for prayer and worship. Now listen, you don't ever want to walk in a visiting church somewhere, and all of a sudden, just start speaking in tongues. You don't know nothing about that church. And if you ever do that, please, 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 don't tell them you're from Judah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. All right. So, now, larger churches, some of the larger churches, you know, 1,000, 2,000 members, that I'm aware of, they have, they're full gospel churches. They believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. But on a Sunday morning service, they do not permit speaking in tongues during that service with interpretation. For worship, for prayer, it's fine. But they do not permit prophetic gift of tongues coming. And I used to question that. Why is that? Well, here it is. Because first of all, when Paul's writing these letters, you got to remember the churches were probably 20 or 30 people, and they used to gather in houses. So everybody kind of knew each other, correct? They all kind of knew each other. So he says two or three give a word. So if you have 30 people, that maybe three prophetic words would come forth. Well, that's, you know, 10%. Could you imagine 2,000 people and 200 people giving a prophetic word in a church like that? And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Those pastors and that leadership, they don't know all these people that are coming in on that Sunday morning service. But then you get the hyper-spiritual, well, pastor, yeah, but don't you trust God to do that? Oh, wait. I trust God. I don't trust people. I'm just going to give you a little biblical lesson right here. The Bible says, know those who labor among you. So don't just walk in here like you're some big prophet. The deacons are going to show you the left foot of fellowship. Are you hearing me, somebody? Listen, we embrace the gifts as they are in the Bible. But it's not some mysterious thing and you got all these crazy prophets running around. I dealt with that, I think, last week, so... So anyhow, verse 29, it says two or three prophets should speak. Watch this. And the others should weigh carefully what it says. It doesn't matter who gives you a prophetic word. I don't care if they're the most highest prophetess, whatever her name, or the great prophet, whatever, from Timbuktu. And he has a collar on, and everybody's carrying his Bible. He has 15 armor guards. All right, come on, are you hearing me, somebody?
Watch out now.
But they elevate these people like they're speaking the word of God. Weigh every word. And let me tell you something. A lot of people will hide behind this. The Lord told me. Because, you know, if they say that, now you can't challenge them because now you're challenging God. Oh, did you see that play there? Be careful when people say, the Lord told me this about. Now listen, I hear my God. I hear my shepherd. He'll speak it to my heart, honey. Now you may confirm it. But there's so much nonsense out there with these prophetic words. I've been to some of these, you know, there's hundreds of people there, and, oh, I got to go get my word. Everybody's coming up for word. It's like drive-by at McDonald's or something, you know? Then you get some of the people in the church, oh, did you get a word? I usually tell them, yeah, probably about 9 o'clock this morning I was in my Bible. I got a whole bunch of word. A lot of nonsense in the church today, church. A lot of nonsense. Verse 29, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Yes. And if a revelation comes to somebody who's sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn. You can all give a word that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Here, watch this now. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets.
That's right.
Oh, the Spirit of God all over me, and I couldn't stop. Yeah, no, you could stop. Your spirit is subject to you. My God. For God is not a God of disorder. He's not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. Somebody in the house give our God a praise. Hallelujah. So let me wrap this up right here. We need all the spiritual gifts of God. in the house. We need them. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. God wants order in the house. He is not the author of confusion. You know, I remember years ago, folk used to say, the church is not an organization, but an organism. No, we're both. We're an organized organism. Somebody say amen. Amen. God is a very organized God. Have you looked at the heavens lately? Have you looked at the sun and the moon and the stars lately? Have you seen how they're all spinning and perfectly synchronization? Have you looked at your body lately? You got, what, 3 trillion cells or 30 trillion cells or something running around your body and making you function? I mean, listen, our God is a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. I don't know, you know, I've been around the block a little bit, and I've been in some of these special services where you get there and nobody knows who's talking, nobody knows who's singing. Somebody's supposed to be there, but they canceled at the last minute. Somebody shows up an hour late, and it's just complete confusion in the house. They say, oh, but we flow by the Spirit. We're being, no, you're not. You're unorganized. It's confusion. That is not of God, church. Our God is a God of order. I also believe that many Christians in their lives today are living without the fullness of the power and the spiritual giftings that our Father has for them. I believe that. Does God have these aforementioned gifts that we've been speaking about just for a few people? Or does he have them for us all? He has them for us all. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we read this 2 weeks ago. To each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given. To each one, every single person, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. And they are to be used for the common good of the church. Listen, you are not called to sit on a pew.
Amen.
Come on, Pastor, keep preaching.
Keep preaching. Mm.
God has gifted each one of us. It's not for pride's sake. It's not to say, hey, look at me. This is my ministry. I'm in charge. Yes. The gifts of the Spirit were not given just so you could have a title. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And that was the part of the Corinthians issue, the Corinthian syndrome, if you will. How many of you know that Corinthian syndrome is still alive today? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul addresses this. He calls them as quote unquote their super apostles, which were actually false teachers in that day. Paul, he referenced it this way. He said, listen, I might not be a polished orator like you. I might not look the part. I might not have, the armor guards and armor bearers and all that. He says, but look at my body of work. These are my credentials. This is proof that I'm called of God. So listen, if you greatly desire the Holy Spirit and all the gifts that are available to you, simply ask Jesus Christ. And he will give you the gifts that he has for you. Amen? Let me read this last scripture. You could stand with me, please. We're done. This scripture gets misquoted quite often, but watch this. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. How many of you desire the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hand. I mean, you really desire, you eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit of God. Watch this. Watch this. Which of you fathers, this is Jesus speaking, if your son asks you for a fish, you're going to give him a snake instead? If they ask for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give what? Good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask them. There it is. Simply ask them. Don't be ashamed. God desires to bless you. His word declares, I pray, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. That's what his word says. You know, when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it was on a Sunday night service. How many of you remember churches used to have Sunday night services decades ago? And they were well attended. And I was there one evening, and they were teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something. When I got saved, I was on fire. I mean, I was an instant zealot for Jesus Christ. It was a radical change in my life. So I was at every service. I was there on a Sunday night, and they were teaching on the Holy Spirit. I said, God, if you have that for me, I want it. So I got out of my pew, and I come down to the altar, and I was standing there, and that's, you know, my hair was way down about here at the time, you know. I was kind of one of them cool white dudes, man. I used to. Oh, I had it going on.
But God.
Just to tie it back in a ponytail. Oh, it was long. Nice. Anyhow. I'm standing there, and I'm just praying. Lord, if the speaking in tongues and all this stuff is for me, I want it. Because, Lord, I want everything you have for me. Is that your heart's cry this morning? I want what you have for me. I want your best. I want your very best. So I was praying. I had my eyes closed. And I felt a hand come on my shoulder. And I heard a voice speak to me. He says, my brother, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, just lift up your hands and open your mouth. And I opened my eyes to look, and there was this long-haired hippie dude talking to me. Beard, you know, kind of a Jesus-looking guy, you know? And like I could relate to him. So I said, okay. I closed my eyes, and I raised my hands. And I began to pray. In another spirit, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I felt the Spirit of God come over me and empower me. And after, I don't know how long it was, I turned around and looked. I never seen that brother again in that church. I don't know, did God send an angel? Well, I don't know. All I know is this, is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. Come on, somebody in the house.